The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, raise your throne in our hearts. Created by you, let us live in your image. Created for you, let us act for your glory. Redeemed by you, let us give you what is yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Okay, be seated. We're going to start our part of the word with the stewardship sketch.
First reading is from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break the pieces, the doors of bronze, and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you. Though you do not know me, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that you may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 96 responsibly. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Proclaim God's salvation from day to day.
Declare God's glory among the nations and God's wonders among all peoples.
For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, more to be feared than all gods.
As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols, but you, O Lord, have made the heavens.
Majesty and magnificence are in your presence, power and splendor.
Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power.
Ascribe to the
Lord. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before the Lord all the earth.
Tell it all among the nations. The Lord is King, the one who made the world so firm that it cannot be moved. Will judge the peoples with equity.
Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea, the thunder, and all that is in it. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein.
Then shall all the for you come to judge the earth.
You will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with your truth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen. A reading from 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you, and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we prove to be among you for your sake. and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. And in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this? And whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
I grew up in a family where certain topics were considered personal and should not be spoken of outside of the home. Money, religion, and politics were the three hot topics. Well, Jesus hits all three in this one little brief encounter. So forgive me, Mom, but if Jesus talked about these things, I guess we should too. In order to hear Jesus' impact of those words, try to put yourself into the situation, the context of that conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees. The first world is very different from our world. For one thing, taxes were very different. Other than Deirdre, most of us don't like to pay tax, but they weren't talking about just any tax. They were talking about a particular tax, a particularly hated tax. The first century Palestinians had to pay a lot of different taxes: temple tax, custom tax, land tax. But this one was called the imperial tax. And it was paid as a tribute to Rome, to support the Roman occupation of Israel. They had to pay for their oppressors. They were paying to be oppressed. You can imagine how much people loved paying that tax. First century Jews were required to pay their oppressors a denarius every year to support their own oppression. But not all the Jews hated this tax. There were some, like the Herodians that are mentioned in this passage, who supported Rome's occupation of Israel. They had been put into positions of power by the Romans, and they got their pay from the Romans. But there were others, and probably most of the crowd that was gathered there listening to this exchange, they found the tax very offensive because it was a constant reminder of their oppression, a constant reminder of their humiliation, that they were a people, a great people, but they were occupied and they were held in oppression. And the tax that had to be paid was necessary to pay it with a particular coin. And this coin was engraved with the picture of Tiberius Caesar, the living governor, the emperor of the day, and an inscription. And the inscription around his head said, Tiberius Caesar, divine son of the divine Augustus. So not only was this coin engraved with the head of their oppressor, it was also the title allowed that emperor to claim to be the son of God. The devoutly religious, like the Pharisees, knew that even touching that coin was breaking the commandment not to have false gods, not to say the name of God, to have a graven image of a false god. But when, not only when they paid the tax, but every time Jews had to use Roman money, they were reminded of the fact that they were occupied by a foreign governor, and that the emperor was proclaiming himself to be the son of God. So the enemies of Jesus come, and they question him about this tax and about authority. Do they have the right to do this? They start out buttering him up, giving him some compliments, saying he's sincere and true and such a good teacher, and doesn't let other people determine his actions or his teaching. We know that the Pharisees and the Herodians were not being sincere or true. They were plotting to trap Jesus. They even called him teacher, but they had no intention of trying to learn anything from him. But not only does Jesus evade their trap, he ensnares them in their own devices. Whose image is on this coin? Well, it was probably their over-eagerness to get on with their plot, but the opponents forgot that even having that coin was breaking the rule. They were in the temple. They were not supposed to have, you've heard the stories of the money changers, because they were sitting outside. So you would trade this foreign money for temple money, because you would dare not bring that coin with the emperor's picture on it and his claim to divinity. You wouldn't bring that into the temple, and you wouldn't be able to use it. And so when Jesus says, do you have a coin? Oh, sure. You know, I got one. So they were immediately accusing themselves of breaking these rules, of not being faithful Jewish people. And Jesus says, well, whose picture is this? The emperor's. They knew. They knew what it was about, assuring the crowd, the rest of the people, that they knew that they had that coin and the blasphemy that it carried. And this really put an edge on Jesus' response. Give to the emperor what's the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. And suddenly the tables are changed, are turned, because as Jesus is always doing, turning everything upside down, give to God the things that are God's, they knew, these Jewish people knew that their hearts, that in their hearts they knew the truth, that they belonged to God, that everything belonged to God, the most holy of Israel. And in just those few words, Jesus reveals the truth. The truth about his would-be accusers, and at the same time, he calls them to the deepest truth of God's authority. Might not Jesus be doing the same thing to us? Jesus invites us to declare our allegiance. Emperors or God, he says of the coin. And he asks us, but I think the key question here is not whose image is on the coin, but rather whose image is on us. It would be hard for Jesus' listeners in first century Palestine to listen to those words, give to God what is God's, and not hear the echo of the first book of Genesis. God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Remembering that is so important in our conversations about money and religion and politics. While we may feel very strongly about our political loyalties, before we are Democrat or Republican or independent, we are Christian. And while we might be quite confident that how we spend our money is our business and nobody else's, yet if we forget in whose image we have been created, we may give in to the temptation to believe that we are no more than the sum total of our possessions and that our bank balance tells the true story of our worth and our value. Jesus raises some important questions for us, but he doesn't give pat answers. There are elements in our life that belong to the emperor's world and should be rendered unto Caesar. But our deepest person, our true self, is God's. And if we remember that, all of life takes on a greater focus and a meaning. To say that our deepest self is God's isn't to put more obligations on us. Watch out, God's watching. Be careful. But it's not that. It's a reminder that no matter what we say or what we do, no matter where we go, no matter what happens to us, we are first and foremost and forever God's own beloved child. It's that identity. It's that belonging that shapes our behavior, urging and aiding us to be who we truly are at our deepest self. We are the image of God. We are created in that image. Thank you, Bruce and Melinda, for your stewardship skits. When I was in seminary, I took a class on stewardship, and the professor said something that kind of stuck in my head. He said he always made a point to make sure that his church pledge was bigger than his income tax bill. He wanted to make sure that by looking at his checkbook, he knew where his allegiance was, where his true allegiance. Now, I'm not suggesting a new way to determine your giving to the church, but I think it's an interesting thing to reflect on how our giving shows where our allegiance is. Give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and give to God what is God's. We do need to pay attention to how we are returning to God the things that are God's and what isn't. Our whole life, the whole world, everything. I asked the preschool children, what did God make? And they love shouting out all of these things that God made. And then, what did God not make? The world isn't divided into easy two boxes, God's and not God's. There's nothing in this box. It's all in this box. Everything belongs to God.
So whose image is stamped on you? You are God's. You are created in God's image. You belong to God. You have been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You are God's coin. It's your God's image stamped on you. Give to God the things that are God's. Amen.